Bembridge to the Needles and beyond. This is Vectis Radio.
Do you know, I had everything organised, and the guys have come in from it is the fire union, isn't it? Is it a fire union?
Fire brigade union.
And now you've changed sides. Now that's Andy over there, now, isn't it?
That's Andy.
That's Andy over there. Yeah. Andy, do you want to give out your surname and talk into that microphone nice and loud?
Yeah, it's Andy Cooper from the Oliver FBU Control Rack.
Okay, and over this side we've got Paul.
Paul Watts. Yeah, I'm from the fire brigade union on the mainland. I represent the members in the southern region.
I'm cross, not with you guys, but I'm looking at it and I'm wound up already, because you know I'm an islander, and I've been an islander for a long, long time. I love the island people, I love the Isle of Wight, and I just think we're getting shafted again. And you know, you would have heard in the news. You tell us, how do you feel? What's it, the story is, and how you feel?
Well, the story is, I mean, that. The council here are proposing that the emergency fire calls for the island, a really vital element of public protection, is going to be outsourced to the mainland, to Surrey Fire and Rescue Service. And I think people should be concerned, they should be angry, and they should be very worried by it. Anger at the lack of consultation that's taken place. The report was put out on the 15th, with 10 days to come back on. Over the bank holiday period, in effect, it's going to be 4 days to respond to something that is going to affect the lives of people on the island.
I mean, I feel that the island people have been conned. You guys have been cheated, because it's so apparent that let's do this then, because then there'll be a two bank holiday period, and you know damn well it doesn't. You know, most people are taking like the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off next week as well, because then they get almost a fortnight out of it. So then the consultation period becomes what, 1 day?
In effect, I mean, it's such a vital subject that people need a full consultation period. They need the information, and they need to be able to lobby their councillors about this decision, and it's just not going to happen within this period.
Well, now, you guys, you know the job inside out. You know the dangers, you know the pitfalls, and I think that most people would look at this now and they would be able to work out for themselves the dangers of fire control going to Reigate. Things are going to get lost in translation. Who will actually make this decision?
The decision is actually made by Councillor Barry Abraham.
Has he ever been a fireman?
Not to my knowledge, and he certainly at the moment has never seen anyone from control or from the Fire Brigade Union to talk about this subject, which we've invited to him. We issued a press release this morning. We've invited him. We invited him yesterday as well by email, asking whether he wants to come and meet with the FBU to discuss our concerns.
Did he turn up? Has he got?
We haven't had a response to my knowledge yet.
Well, wow, what a surprise! And this is Councillor Barry Abrahams.
That's correct.
Who's not qualified at all in fire safety.
No, but he needs to listen to people and to comprehend what's being proposed here. I think he's got to comprehend what's being proposed, and he's got to understand from the people what actually the system and how it will work. Mm. We've all experienced particularly the police control being in Hampshire, and how that operates. And it's no disrespect to the professionalism of the police controllers, but things get lost in translation.
Of course they do.
And it just doesn't work as efficiently as having a control on the island.
Absolutely. Are you up for some calls?
Yes, of course.
Hi, who's this?
It's Chris, Ian.
Hello, Chris, how are you?
Yeah, pretty peeved off, really, when you hear about this. Sorry, what's your guest name?
There's Andy.
Andy.
And there's Paul. They're from the Fire Brigade Union.
Hi, Chris.
Right?
Hello, Andy. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
You know, it's just the typical, this is the trend of this council, of consultation. I'm a town councillor in Sandown, and believe you me, we've had consultations like that through the youth organisation, of youth clubs and everything. We've had it through public libraries, toilets. We've had consultation with our lifeguards, where the letter comes up about, God knows, far, far too late to do anything about lifeguards for this year. We're still trying. And it just goes to show, this is a bloody dictatorship in this council. It's an absolutely appalling. If they were running a private business, they'd be gone, finished. And what makes me so angry is this. Do you know, there's just been a new Tesco chairman. I'm coming completely off tangent here, right? This bloke started from the floor, right? Stacking shelves. He's now the chairman. I've just taken over at Tesco's. Now, that proves through business, he's gone up right up through. You guys are at the rock end. You're at the end that needs and knows what you need. Yet you've got some bloody bureaucrat that turns round and dictates what you need. You see, you talk about all this revolution going on around everything. We are really getting it stuck to us. We are about time we got up and really went to town, particularly not just nationally, but on this Isle of Wight. There's about 40 councillors, and only about 10 of them really have any input in this thing. It's a bloody it's so distasteful, it's unbelievable.
Well, there's two things here to argue. Well, there's a few things. I mean, you know, the guy who's making the decision is not qualified at all.
No.
He refuses to speak to anybody. You know, that's the first thing. And the way that all this consultation has been forced and sorted, the timing of the consultation, we all know that, you know, we've just worked it out, two bank holidays, most people taking off the three extra days, that probably leaves one day for
they
consultation.
They did it on purpose, Ian.
Yeah, so there must be, I mean, there must be laws that you can say, right, hang on a minute, the consultation wasn't right, let's go through the law courts, let's threaten them with that.
There has to be a certain period of consultation. Now, believe you me, this youth organisation thing has been back-turning, U-turning, going forward, going back. The bloke that was doing it all is now gone and shifted off to some other bloody planet, and that's what you get. So what it turns round to be, consultation is what it's supposed to be. And what the union has got to do, and what the public has got to be, is right, and say, look, we want that. If there is any improvement in any business, especially for the life-saving part of it, if it's going to be for the ultimate best, and there cannot be anything than better, then it can be looked at and approved. But this is completely the opposite way as far as I'm concerned. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, on the ground, you people do a fantastic job. And as far as I'm concerned, your voices are the ones that's got to be heard. And this consultation period must be, unless I'm wrong, and I might be, is the consultation period is illegal because they are purposely giving you less time to consult. They've already made up their minds. But as you see, lads, with the U-turn of some of the libraries, the toilets, because people fought back, these people can U-turn. Hello, are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here. Who wants to take that?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that the public deserve to be given full consultation and to be given the information. Many people on the island, until the last 24, 48 hours following the release of the documents on Friday, were unaware that this is still going ahead. It was initially at a full council last September when it was passed to a delegated decision. And since then, there has been nothing. There has been nothing released to the public, only the document released last Friday. And I don't believe that the public have been fully informed. There's been nothing in the paper. And the public don't have an avenue to comment directly. They can only comment through their councillor. Now, again, you've only got 4 days to do that.
Well, I've tried emailing my councillor last week twice. No reply.
I think, Ian, you know, Europe, we pay enough into the bloody thing. You know, get sod all out. Why don't you lads go to the Court of Human Rights? Because there's got to be a European law stating about consultations. Go to Euro MP. Have you contacted him?
We're currently looking into the legal aspects of it, Chris. It's obviously just arrived on our desk in the last few days, so we are undertaking that exercise with the advice of our solicitors on the mainland. So we will certainly pursue that avenue. But we really do want people to have a look and see how dangerous the assumptions are within the business case. The assumptions in there assume DCLG will fund the transitional costs. They assume that the Isle of Wight Council will fund some money. And they assume that Surrey will have the capacity to deal with this. And it really is a dangerous and worrying time for people on the island. At the minute, you get an excellent service from your fire and rescue service, and that starts from the moment you dial 999 and speak with the emergency control room. They know where you are. They have an idea of how to respond to you. They really do an excellent job, and
I know you're absolutely right. Sorry to cut across you, but maybe we should just make the point. As it is at the moment, what's the scenario at the moment? What happens? My house is on fire, I call.
You dial 999.
Yeah.
You are connected to the emergency fire control room in Newport, just down the road here.
Someone who knows the area,
someone that's a lot of experience, is highly trained to national standards to respond to your call. they obtain where you're calling from, the nature of your incident, and they send the appropriate response. Now, that's the simple bit of it. When that fire develops and it becomes bigger, or say it involves chemicals or something like that, then they mobilise additional resources, inform a lot of different people. And the problem with this whole business case is it's based on how much it costs to dial 999. And they're saying it's in excess of £300 every time someone dials 999. What they're not looking at is the cost of the additional things that we do. They've just ruled that out, and they've taken a very simple view of a very complex task to suit their needs.
Okay. Oh, so what happens? What will happen now when it's shifted to Reigate? Then what will happen?
The same thing will happen. Your 999 call will go into Surrey. What they will have, they'll have similar technology to what we have now on the island to be able to process your call. But what they won't have is the knowledge. I'm from the mainland. I've been on the island just a few times in the last few years, and there's little places that, you know, you wouldn't dream existed. It's a lovely place. It's packed full of tourists right now who, let's face it, don't know where they are.
You try and explain K Knighton and Knighton on the island, you know, to someone up there in Reigate who ain't got a clue.
Exactly.
How many fire crew are going to go to you know, K Knighton instead of Knighton?
Absolutely.
Can I just say, also, is it a fact that, you know, we've got some really decent machines over here at the moment? Will we lose those and get older ones?
At the minute, that's not on the agenda, but there's nothing to say that tying up your control might not eventually mean tying up your services. That is something to worry about in the future, I think. Right now, it's the control, but what might follow? This is the step towards something. Currently on the mainland, a lot of fire and rescue services are talking to each other about amalgamating services, shared functionality, etc. So that's something for the future and something that is definitely on our radar.
Well, I'm 100% behind you. I know, well, almost 90-odd% or more, or anybody with a drop of sense would be behind you. Don't be bullied by these people. This consultation's got to be illegal. You've got to have the appropriate time. And but when you see how this council works, and, you know, it's just that it's unbelievable. So I wish you all the luck. Keep on fighting. Do your Euro MP, and also the European law, because we might as well use it where it's appropriate. They get enough out of us.
That's great, Chris. Thank you very much for your comments.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
It's 17 minutes after midday. If you want your say, we want to stick this phone in just about everywhere so people can know what is actually going on and how you guys are actually shafted. So if you are listening out there, now's your time to have your say, because there ain't going to be any consultation, I'm afraid. You probably get one day, and you'll probably miss that day as well, because no one really knows when it is. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Ian. It's Claire.
Hi, Claire.
Look, you're not looking at the bigger picture here. We're having our local services cut, i.e. the fire brigade and everything else, and they're transferring this, that and the other over to the mainland. We're giving Europe, which most of these stupid laws come from and what have you, £24 billion a year, which has recently been increased to that amount, and now it's going to be increased even more. I don't know whether you saw on the news this morning, but every household in this country has got to fork out £400 a year extra to give to the EU. Now, this is where our money's going. We're throwing money not only to the EU, but around the world, to stupid countries like Pakistan, India, and that, who can fend for themselves. And this is where our money's going. And the main problem is, well, the reason we've got all these local cuts is because of the bigger picture, where, you know, we're throwing our money around all over the show. And this is what we need to tackle. If you don't, you know, target the cause of the cuts, i.e. don't target the councils as such, even though they make stupid decisions and they got all their priorities wrong, the main cause is central government. And central government are the people we keep voting in. And it's central government that keep shoving this country down in a big black hole. So we're throwing all this money away, and as I say, we've got to pay out now, on top of that, for £24 billion a year, another £400 every single household in this country. That's what you've got to do to change it. Get rid of those three stooges.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say
they're actually three puppets of the EU, actually. That's what they are.
Yeah, I think more locally and even nationally with councillors, and councillors generally is, particularly Conservative councillors, they're trying to get a position where they believe that they're now doing cuts for the sake of the nation, but they forget that many of these Conservative-controlled councils have not had wise words or forethought and actually sent back money to the central government, Labour government.
They're doing cuts to support the nations, not for the sake of this nation. This nation is being rubbed into the ground and we're all paying for it. All they care about is other nations, and it's time the people of this country put an end to it and say, enough is enough, we're not having it. Get out, we're going to get an alternative government in.
Claire, you're worried about subsidising other elements of society. Well,
no, not society, other elements of the world.
Of the world.
So we haven't got an NHS.
Let me just put this to you.
A World Health Service.
If this goes ahead, Isle of Wight residents will be paying in excess of £200,000 to Surrey to subsidise cuts to their control room budget. They've got to make savings of approximately £150,000.
Yeah,
you're going to be paying more.
You
are going to be subsidising people in Surrey if this goes ahead.
Exactly, yeah, I know that, but I'm saying you're not looking at the bigger picture, are you?
We can only address the local picture. We're obviously here to deal with that issue.
Is it? This is where you're blind. It's no good looking locally, you've got to look nationally. The reason why the local issues have come about. It's the local issues that end up getting the brunt end of all this, because we're throwing money away around the world and we're paying for it in our local issues.
Yeah, if you look then at a national issue, over the past 8 years, we've had what's called the Fire Recontrol Project, which has cost up to £1.3 billion. The only group to object to this was the Fire Brigades Union, and we've been proved correct.
Councillors, it's not just the fire, though, is it? It's councillors, the ambulance, it's everything.
Yeah, but councillors across the country have backed this proposal, and MPs, and it's cost the country £1.3 billion. December last year, the project was scrapped. And, you know, this is systematic of councillors not listening to people on the front line who've told them their projects are a waste of money and time and resources.
The councils are getting their orders from central government. That's what the councils are doing. They're getting their orders from central government. They have got to abide what government tells them.
No, with due respect,
target government.
With due respect, there are councils across the country who have rejected central government's dictates, and councillors could and should have done that previously.
Yeah, but they reject them. But at the end of the day, central government wins the day, because central government rules the council.
That may be so, but at least councillors could then say they tried their best. At the moment, many of them dig their head in the sand and don't want to listen.
Well, of course they do, because they're worried about, number one, their jobs. You know, all I'm saying is that if you want to change this country and this kind of nonsense with our services being cut left, right and centre, you need to target central government. It's no good targeting the councils, because all they are is puppets of the government, and the government are puppets of the EU, and that's how it goes on. Until you stop that and target them at the top and say no more EU and no more you lot who have been puppets for that EU, this local problems which we have are not going to change. We're all going to keep on whinging and whinging and whinging, but at the same time, nothing is going to change, absolutely nothing. You've got to get that lot out of power before you can change councils. Simple as that.
All right, can we agree on the fact that you think this is a hideous idea?
What's that?
Well, the actual moving of the fire control to Reigate.
Well, it's pathetic. Yes, of course it's crazy. It's like if you want to call the police, you can't call your local police. You end up having to call the mainland, which I've had to do on a few occasions because I've had some nasty people in my taxi. And all of a sudden, they want directions. They want to know what where this road is, what the number of the road is, PO or whatever. And you think, hang on, you people, I'm in an emergency situation here, and I've got to tell you where the damn road is.
So the whole point of this phone-in is, hang on, this is ludicrous, moving the fire control room to Reigate. Oh, we've gone all round the houses, but you do actually agree, because you've been in a similar instance, and it's a problem.
It should stay local, but the problem is that why it isn't local is because of cuts. That's why they're doing it. And the cuts start with central government. They're the one who are causing it.
Okay. Well, look, thanks for your call. We agreed on something. I mean, we went round the houses, but we agreed on something. Thanks for your call, Claire.
Bye.
Cheers. Okay, if you want to give us a call now and have a bit of a rant, a rave, a moan, you may, you know, just disagree with the whole thing. You might think that this is a good idea. I don't know anybody that does. And by the way, I mean, there's I've just been sent this. Hi, and if this is the councillor who is making the decision, his address and mobile number are up on the council website. Perhaps he needs to hear from us. Regards. I'm not going to read out your name because you might be tarred with the brush that I'm just about to be tarred with, because I'm going to read out this bloke's name and his telephone number, and I think you should give him a call and you should ask him a question. Look, are you qualified to make the decision? Are any of your mates that are going to sit in the room with you next week and go, all those in favour? Yes, I'm in favour of something really ridiculous. Are you, you know, qualified to make that decision as well? So give old Barry Abrahams a call. His number is 0777... that's 9999811. So 0777 9999811. Give him a call and just ask him the question. I mean, you've asked him the question, you've tried to get hold of him, but you're just a nobody. You're a fireman, but you're a nobody, and you don't get a response, which is an absolutely disgusting way of treating people.
In fairness, we're waiting for him to come back. The offer was extended to him yesterday, and hopefully he will come back to us.
You know that it's going to be... we've got fobbed off last week with no replies from councillors, council leaders, chief execs. We were only asking the question last week of something else, completely different. But the same sort of cuts, the same sort of reasons. You know, just asking the simple question, can you tell us a little bit more about PFI and the pitfalls? We got no response. You're not going to get any response.
We live in hoping that he will come back to us, and we will have a dialogue with him, and we'll be able to present our case. The paper that he's making this decision on to us is fundamentally flawed, and we'd like to highlight some of the flaws in it to him.
Yeah, before he makes the decision that he's not qualified to make.
Hopefully he can delay that decision, and that will be give
or
us time to speak.
Or am I getting it wrong?
No. You're quite right, but we live in hope that we can have a dialogue.
Okay, you're being nice. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Ria.
Hello, Ria.
Hello. Let's face it, the lunatics have definitely taken over the asylum, haven't they?
So it would seem.
Yes. I mean, it's ludicrous, you know, to have to be trying to tell people when your house is on fire, to tell somebody on the mainland that, you know, where you live, because they haven't got a clue about the area. What is the, you know, why? You know, I just don't get it. You know, why are they putting all this, you know, they're wanting to put the control room on the mainland? It doesn't make any sense.
How much consultation have the guys had? You say none at all? Fire crew on the island, how much consultation?
No, as far as we're aware, no firefighters on the island. They visited fire control, but they've not really listened to us, because none of our comments of my colleagues or myself have appeared in the report. We've highlighted quite a few elements which we're not happy about, and that's our professional opinion. Despite the fact we may be losing our jobs, they want to dismiss our opinions.
That's the other side of the coin. You know, that certain people are going to lose their jobs, really. I mean, that's just... That's just incredible that you've got a report which highlights flaws in what they want to push through, but they don't want to talk to you about it.
I mean, many firefighters on the island are very unhappy about it, and many have signed the petition that's currently ongoing. Now, I'm sure they would like to be able to express their views not only to the council, but the chief fire officer as well.
Have you got a message for the council? Ria, have you got a message for Barry Abraham? Will you give him a call and ask him what he thinks?
Actually, I think that'd be a good idea. There's lots of people phoned him up. I bet he'd turn his phone off, though.
Oh, I bet he would.
I bet he'd turn his phone off. But my message is, I hope to God that his house isn't on fire after all this has gone through, because, let's face it, if I was a fireman and his house was on fire, I'd refuse to go and put it out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure... I see what you're saying, but I'm sure these guys are professional enough to look beyond that.
They are professional. They are. I mean, hands up to them, they are fantastic. They do a brilliant job. And to know that they're going to be shafted, the same as the rest of the Isle of Wight people, it just doesn't bear thinking about.
What do you think of this consultation period that is just surprisingly found itself right in the middle of two bank holidays?
It's funny that it is right in the middle of this great big holiday, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, you know, all these offices are going to be closed. So they're not going to... I think they did it on purpose. They timed it perfect for their own needs.
I mean, it doesn't, to be honest with you, it doesn't surprise us. It just shows the general demeanour and attitude of the way they want to treat the system and the public. If they had given us a reasonable time, even 10 working days, we would have been, you know, content maybe. But to do the 4 days just doesn't surprise us at all.
And not only that, there's all this alternative vote going on and it gets lost, doesn't it, and shoved under the blooming carpet. They're more worried about the alternative vote down at the council than they are the fire crew on, you know, that is just...
Quite possibly.
...speaks volumes.
I mean, one, to show you what appears to be their priority, there's an annex, it's a bit complicated here, we've got Annex E of Appendix A to the documents that were released on Friday.
Right.
And in there is a list of risks. There are 18 uncontrolled risks, 10 are high or very high, 6 are medium, and 2 are low. But this is a little bit interesting. A very high risk is poor transfer damages the reputation of the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service. However, a high risk, not a very high risk, but a high risk is system failure exacerbating death or injury. So we see really where the priority is here, PR over death or injury. And that really sums up that report.
That's disgusting. Are you going to go national on this? Can you go national? I'd go to The Sun, I'd go to the News of the World, I'd go to every single newspaper, I'd go on every single radio station. I know you're off up to the other station in a minute, and I know that, you know, I'm hoping that they're going to have the same stance as we are, because this is something that, you know, sod the wars between different rival media groups. This is something we can all pull together on and look forward and look in the same direction and back it, because this needs backing, this needs sorting too. Thanks for your call, Ria.
Okay.
Cheers.
Bye.
Okay, so if you want to call now, get straight through 527, have your rant, have your say. He keeps holding his headphones out because am I shouting? Am I too loud for you, or you want me to turn it down? Or okay, the phone rings. Let's take another call. Hi, who's this?
It's Steve Goodman.
Hi, Steve.
Hello. I've come into this a bit late. I've just got back from Newport Farmers Market, which I highly recommend to everybody if they don't know about it already. Quite a lot that concerns me about this, as you can imagine. Hang on, sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once and I'm not a woman, that's not good. Am I on air now?
Yeah, you're on air now, and I'm worried now. What are you doing?
Sorry about that. I'll keep it clean. I'll try not to curse or anything, but I am...
Do you need a fireman? You're not stuck somewhere.
I really do consider this is life-threatening, because the serious concerns put forward by the people who actually know what they're talking about, the firefighters, are simply being ignored, it seems to me. I don't understand why on the island we don't have a single 999 call handling centre for the island. It just seems so obvious and sensible and economical.
Yeah, very possibly, Steve. Obviously, some things have been discounted in this report, and one of them, I believe, is a tie-up with the ambulance, who have their own control room on the island. We'd like to see some detail about what went on with exploring that possibility. And, yeah, we're more than willing to look at more efficient ways of working, and if a tie-up like that was to be presented, obviously, we would consider it and give it our input. And it's something that's happening on the mainland as well in Gloucestershire. The police, fire and ambulance share the control room. They don't actually take each other's calls, but they share the building, so it reduces costs. So there's a lot of things that could be looked at here.
Yes, as I said, it seems obvious to me, and given particularly that we are an island and the emergency service have to work together anyway, and for something like a fire or a serious car smash, everybody's going to be dealing with the same thing. It just seems crazy. I don't know what we're expected to do. You know, are we supposed to sort of ask the fire to stop while they send over another tender from the mainland or something? It's just absurd.
No, don't worry, Steve. Fire engines won't be coming from the mainland. They'll still come from your local stations with the fire crews.
But there are some horror stories coming out from, say, the police control over at Netley in Hampshire, where they start dispatching police cars from places like Portsmouth and Southampton for what actually turn out to be island calls. And that's all terribly embarrassing and not terribly helpful for the people waiting on the island for someone to attend. And it's the kind of thing that's going to happen. If we're transferring our fire emergency calls off island, we're going to get more examples of the sort of thing that I've been hearing even this morning at the market. People are coming up with stories about how they'd phoned the emergency services, the police specifically, for these incidents. And they've found out that the call has been forwarded to Wales when someone said Newport. And it's not an isolated example. It's just plainly absurd.
I mean,
and it's bound to cost us money. And I don't see, for example, why we should be subsidising Surrey's fire service. It's a nonsense.
I mean, with the police control, you know, many police serving police officers, particularly at the time it transferred around 10 years ago, objected, and many still do, are very against it because of the efficiency or the inefficiency of the very nature of where they're located. And again, that's nothing to do with the professionalism of those people manning that control, but they simply don't have the resources. And one big element that's always been played on is local knowledge. And politicians nationally and locally and chief fire officers nationally have tried to randomly dismiss that. But what you've got to remember is that automated caller location technology, which is what they say will replace local knowledge, does not replace it. It assists local knowledge. And local knowledge fills in the gaps. And as a caller said earlier, very often the police will ask for a road number. They don't understand local terms like the race course, like Node Hill. And that's when the call taking slows down.
Yes.
And the call taking cannot slow down for emergencies like fires or road traffic accidents where people are trapped, because we've got, remember, this golden hour, which is the vital time in which people must be extricated from vehicles, and that is being eaten into all the time that someone is trying to locate a call on a computer system.
Yes, all that... To most of us, that seems obvious, and it seems absurd to ignore that. To ignore local knowledge, particularly on the island, is just plainly ridiculous. And I think it's life-threatening.
Yeah, Steve, you're quite right. I mean, fire waits for no one, and any delay that's built into the call handling process will exacerbate the situation when our crews arrive. And obviously, the spread of fire can be further, and the threat to life is greater. So that's why we don't want to see it, and that's why we're opposed for it. It's best to have your control room run from a local room where they understand the needs of the community that they serve.
Yep, couldn't agree more. There's another thing that worries me, is that's the way it's being done through the council. It seems that the chief fire officer is only allowed to report to one person, Stuart Love, who's not a councillor, he's unelected, and he's supposed to pass on whatever's important to the people who are making the decisions. And at the moment, that seems to be a delegated decision to Barry Abram, one man only. And I'm wondering, along this chain, just how many of the concerns of the people doing the job have just been ignored?
Well, we believe... We've been totally ignored on this. The consultation just hasn't happened. The window that's been given for it is absolutely meaningless. So that's why we're seeking a meeting with the councillor to express our concerns.
Is it true that Paul Street is retiring soon?
He is retiring in October, I understand, yeah.
So wouldn't it be better for him to, you know, because he's not going to be, well, I'm saying not bothered, but I mean, you know, let's be honest, if someone else is taken over, then perhaps that someone else ought to be taken over, knowing full well what's going to happen in the future. He ought to be in on it. Before you answer that question, let me just make sure we've got someone on the other line here. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Ian Ward.
Hello, Ian. Is it Councillor Ian Ward?
It certainly is.
Okay, brilliant. You just hang on there, Ian, and we'll come to you in two ticks.
Okay. Steve's still here as well.
Oh, yeah, Steve. Just hang on a moment there. This is an important question. We've just asked a question, Ian, if you're listening, and it's to do with Paul Street. Paul Street is the...
He's the chief fire officer.
On the island. He's retiring in October. Mm. I'm saying, well, if he's not going to be here in October, then surely the new man in charge ought to be having some kind of input, because he's going to have to work with these situations that are going to arise out of all of this.
We're not in any way questioning Mr. Street's professionality throughout this.
Not at all.
And
but
I'm
you agree?
Sure he believes this is in the interest of the island. We believe he's not got it quite right, and that's why we want to enter into dialogue.
But do you think that if there is a man that is going to be taken over in October, which I'm sure will have to be sorted out fairly soon, he should have some kind of input on what's going to go on in the next couple of weeks, shouldn't he?
Well, I mean, one element of this, which is in the report, is the fact that Surrey have got to get this project completed by October. Because they've got the London Olympics to deal with. So that's just coincidence that there may be a changeover of chief fire officer. But obviously that's a pressure on this project, which is incidental to a chief fire officer.
Okay, so the cynic will look at it and think, you've got to rush this through because of the Olympics next year. If you don't do it now, you're going to be far too busy next year. We'll come back to that point in a moment. If you'd like to hang on there, Steve, we'll just speak to Ian, if that's okay.
Yes, go on.
Ian.
Hi there.
What do you think, then, of all this?
The decision to move our fire control centre was taken ages ago, even before I was a councillor. So way before 2005. I think you'll remember that actually it was the government that decided it was going to centralise fire control centres right throughout the country. I mean, that project has obviously stalled along the line, but the principle remains, you know, it's better to group together than have individual fire control centres dotted, little ones dotted all over the country. I know the argument goes on about, oh, it's all about local knowledge and things like that, but of course, our fire and rescue guys are local people. And if they get a message saying, you know, there's a fire or whatever at, X location, of course they're going to know where it is, aren't they? You know, they don't need somebody in Surrey to say, oh, you know, go down here, turn left, and it's just around the corner.
Can I ask what expertise you have, regarding fire control?
Not fire control, but...
That's what we're talking about here. Yeah. We're talking about fire control. What expertise do you have, Ian?
Well, I have worked in control centres before. I mean, you probably know, I was in the army for 30 years and worked in many ops rooms in Northern Ireland and things like that. You know, so I do know how these things work, and they've come on leaps and bounds since my day with electronic maps and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, Andy's got a point to make.
Yeah, it's just to say, Councillor Ward, that you've got to bear in mind, though, that the call in the first place has got to have the correct information. It may well be that firefighters have local knowledge, but if the call in its first place is incorrect or has incorrect information or details, and bearing in mind... local knowledge will be gone, so they'll be relying on technology, and as I said, technology only assists in locating calls. And my colleagues from around the country have all said that the system that's being used, which is called ISAC, is only an assistance to them. And you've also got to remember that the project that you're mentioning, which was started 7 years ago, is 1.3 billion. And we consistently, the Fire Brigades Union, objected very strongly. And no councillors on the island, the island MP, did not listen to us, as many did not nationally. So I say to you, you must listen to the people that have predicted what happened in the past, and we are saying exactly the same now. Technology is not a substitute for local knowledge.
I've got to be honest with you, Ian. I know you. You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. You're a family man. You're a councillor, and you've got the island interests at heart. But I mean, I'm looking at it and thinking there's a fireman opposite me, and he's telling me that this is going to give us a problem, and it may lead to people dying in fires. Now, if that's the case, who do I trust? Who am I going to believe? Who am I going to vote for? Who am I going to come down on the side of? It's definitely Andy, the fireman, because he's been there at the sharp end and he knows what he's talking about. I know and respect that you know that you're talking about comms and things like that, but I just think that this time round, you know, we've got to listen to the experts, and I think that is what this council are failing to do.
But then again, I mean, this is councils all over the country then.
I'm not talking about councils all over the country. I'm talking about the council in my backyard, the fire crew in my backyard that are going to save my arse when it's burning.
People have their own opinion, don't they? And quite rightly, you know, our fire boys are saying, well, you know, we have doubts about this system. And that, I think that's natural for them to say that. But, you know, if we'd ever moved on, where would we be?
But I'd have to say, Councillor Ward, I come back to, if the information from the initial emergency call is taken incorrectly, you are going to have appliances that are mismobilised. Not only is that costing a lot of money, upwards of £500 per time of a call, they're on emergency blue light runs, which are unnecessary, and the actual call could be many miles away from where they've been directed to. It all comes from the source of the call. And I also would say that no councillors have been to see any of the firefighters in control, and nor have they seen any of the Fire Brigades Union members. And as we said before, we've invited Councillor Abrams to come and see us. Now, if you would like to come and see us and talk with us in detail about what you believe, and we can fill you in with maybe more knowledge than you are being fed through the system.
Happy to do that.
Promise?
Yeah, happy to do that.
Because, I mean, I've got to be honest with you, I'm listening to you, Ian, and you don't really have any argument. You don't. I mean, if it was down to you to vote, yes. I would be expecting you to vote on the side of the fire crew because you don't have the expertise and you don't have an argument. Your argument has been, you know, moving. If we didn't move forward, well, this isn't moving forward. This is moving back. We're reducing the service. The service isn't going to be better with this. And I thought that, you know, the whole point of voting in people like you to look after our council is to take us forward. This is taking a gigantic backward step. And I just think that, you know, we've really got to look at this. And it's not just a case of, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm being told what to do. I'm not saying you're controlled, but it just seems like, you know, we've had a conversation with you and it just feels like that you're not going to change your mind. You've already made your mind up and yet you've got no argument. You cannot argue with these men and say that you are wrong because you know in your heart of hearts that these men are right.
Well, I've got to disagree with you, but I'm willing to be educated, put it that way. If the fire guys want to show me around, brief me, more than happy to.
Don't you think, though, Ian? I'm not, you know, not being disrespectful. Yeah. It's late in the day, isn't it? It's very, very late in the day. Don't you think that, you know, the councillors, yourself, should have done this a long time ago? This has been going on for months and months and months. You owe it to us, the people that voted you in, to be looking after us. And if you're going to now say, oh, well, you know, I don't mind having a meeting, it's like, well, hang on a minute, we've got X amount of days left. Surely you should have done something by now.
Well, like I said, this decision was made years and years ago.
No, it wasn't. This is the decision that's going to be made next week.
Yeah, I know that.
That's the decision.
But the principle of grouping fire control centres was made years and years ago.
Yes, and that was made
by a previous council. Even.
No, it wasn't. It was made by the government who dictated the fire recontrol project. Mm. This is nothing to do with that, sir. This has to do with the fact last September it was at full council, it was passed to a delegated decision, since then we have heard nothing, no documents have been released until last Friday. We now have 4 working days. And I would also say to you, Councillor Ward, do you honestly believe, despite what police constables across the island would tell you, that Netley is an improved or better service? It may not result in people's direct death, but I would say it is fundamentally inferior. It takes longer to pass a call, even for us to pass a call, and they will always, as a caller said earlier, ask you for a road name, ask you for a junction name. Now that is slowing down the call taking process. I'd ask you directly, do you believe that is a better system or not?
But, I mean, you're making me
Can you just answer that question? Do you believe it's a better service or not that Netley is not on the island?
Well, if I was to listen to the police professionals, they say it is. Like you're saying, it isn't.
Is that senior officers or is that police constables on the ground on the Isle of Wight?
I don't know. I don't
Maybe then you should need to speak to your local police constables or other constables on the island to ask them their opinion. Because I can tell you, I know police constables on the island and they're very, very dissatisfied. But you will also note that was moved about 10 or 12 years ago and police constables and sergeants who were in the papers were actually silenced and told not to speak up any more about the subject. So I'd say again to you, councillor, go and see your local constable and ask them what they believe is the efficiency of the service at Netley.
Do you know what was really worrying, Ian? I don't want to keep banging on about it. Your lack of lack of grasping this and not knowing certain things. I mean, if you're one of the blokes that's going to go and vote next week, I'm concerned because you don't know enough about it, obviously.
I don't accept that at all.
You're not filling me with confidence.
But you are believing one side of the story.
No, I'm not. I want to believe you. I want to believe that there is a council out there that is looking after, you know, the worries, the concerns and the well-being of the islanders that put them in the position they're in.
Okay.
You're not filling me with confidence. And I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, well, you just don't seem to want to know, want to understand. It's coming across. Am I wrong?
Look, if I say I'm convinced that moving it is the best idea, you're going to say, oh, you're prejudging it, you've already made your mind up, etc., etc. I'm willing to be briefed, okay? So, lest that happen.
It just is very, very late in the day, Councillor Ward.
Well, we are where we are.
We are where we are because the actions of the council and the way they've done this process. Nobody since September, when it was at full council, until Friday of last week, has released any information or wanted meaningful consultation. And I would say to you again, I don't believe it's acceptable where we pass a call, a fire, an emergency control to another emergency control, and 2 minutes later they ring us back and ask if we know about an incident which we passed them 2 minutes earlier. There is confusion profound, abounds with Netley, and it's an example of where a control in the mining is not efficient.
Can I come in, please?
Go on, Steve.
First, to say that the government decided to centralise all the fire brigade control centres, that was a disaster. That was supposed to have happened within about 3 years and not cost much money. If I remember rightly, 8 years on, they cancelled the whole damn thing, and it's cost, we can't say exactly how much, because so much is kept from us on the grounds of commercial confidentiality. Although it's our money, it would be quite nice to know what they're doing with it. But the minimum spend seems to be something like 50 million and figures of up to 1.3 billion are being talked about. It just doesn't work. It's not a good idea. It's life-threatening. When the council is talking about it being a good idea to centralise control services, I can agree in as much that it will be a bloody good idea to centralise an emergency control service for the island, on the island.
Yeah, but they're going on. I mean, you know, we're talking to Ian. We've spoken to other councillors as well, and they're not qualified to come up with that way of thinking because they haven't looked into it, because they haven't spoken to the people that they should be speaking to. And now here we are, you know, the last 5 minutes of the game, and you know, Ian Ward comes on, and you're the only one, Ian. I've got to take me out off to you, because I've written to councillors, all 40 of you, and had little response, if not any response from them. At least you've come on the phone, and at least you've come on and you know, you've given us your point of view, which I respect. I don't think you're right, but I respect you for coming on and having the nuts enough to come on. But I say at the same time, I also can't stress enough, and I would imagine, I don't think I've got this completely wrong, every listener out there that we've got is probably thinking, why are you doing this now? It's, you know, it's consultation time, bank holidays are plenty, why wasn't this done and dusted months ago? Why wasn't the communication lines opened? You know, in my book, I don't speak for the island, I speak as an islander, mm-hmm. I say to you and your council that you haven't acted in my best interest, or possibly the rest of the islands. I can't speak for them, and I think that's a sad state of affairs.
And I'd also say the public deserve better than this.
And I'd also like to say that we're paying for it all, and it would be nice to have a say in something that affects us, particularly if it might be life-threatening. I think at the very least, this decision should be put back. There should be a proper consultation and discussion. And if people are seriously concerned about this going off island, then we should be listened to. The professionals know what they're doing. The facts speak for themselves. If everything's made public and people can make an informed decision, and it turns out to be the best thing, then so be it. But everything I've heard so far just screams against this idea.
Mm. Well, I mean,
what are you going to do, Ian? Come on.
Okay, look, as I've said, I'm more than happy, if the fire guys want to explain to me, brief me, more than happy to come along and be convinced. I mean, there is really no point in going over the same ground. You know, quite clearly the fire professionals have their view. I can't dissuade them from that, but I'm certainly willing to listen to them.
Well, why would you want to dissuade them? Because I look at it and I think you should be listening to them, because they're the bloody experts, aren't they?
But that's what I'm saying. I'm happy to listen.
Well, the opportunity for a briefing is there, Ian, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you. So we will make contact with you. We'll drop you an email and we'll arrange a local briefing. I know we're going into injury time on the consultation, but we're more than happy to do that. And I think what we'd like to see here is a full, meaningful consultation, and it going back to the council for a full decision, not a delegated decision taken behind closed doors. Let's have it out. It's in the public interest. Let's have it all out there and let the public get involved.
Okay, Steve Goodman, thanks very much for your call.
Okay, get
cheers.
In touch.
Ian, thank you. I think you're a brave man, and you've gone up in my estimation, but I think his communication lines have to be open, and I think you've got to listen to these guys.
Be more than happy to.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Bye now.
Bye. It's 6 minutes away from one. We'll take a very quick break, and then we'll come back with another call.
The Isle of Wight phone-in is brought to you in association with isleofwight.com, the guide to your holiday on the Isle of Wight.
Get your holiday accommodation noticed on the World Wide Web. Advertise on isleofwight.com, the island's leading independent tourism website, from as little as £3.99 per week. isleofwight.com. Your next guest to stay is just a click away.
The best mix of hits anywhere on the planet. This is Vectis Radio.
English Pete's on the line. Hi, English Pete.
Good afternoon, chaps. I've got to say that I've met Ian Ward on a number of occasions. I think he's a really nice guy, but I just don't know where he was coming from today with that. And I'm sure he must be regretting having made the call, because I thought that the performance was absolutely pathetic.
It wasn't just me, then?
No. I think Ian came across as doing the bidding of his political masters, not speaking on behalf of his constituents. This has got to be a human decision, not a purely monetary one, and... the two guys you've got as guests in the studio now, I'm 100% with them and 100% against the view Ian was just putting forward. I think it was pathetic and totally wrong.
Pete, thank you for your...
Can I just point out something? Ian Ward, not Mac, okay? I don't want to be tarred with that brush.
Yeah, not dissimilar. Pete, thank you for your support, and obviously we will take the opportunity now to speak with Councillor Ward and brief him accordingly.
Well, it's got to be a human decision, hasn't it? Not down to money. And when people like the council officials concerned come up with the argument, well, you know, we've got to save money, where's it going to come from? Well, you could start with the £4 million that's being wasted on refurbishing County Hall for a start.
I mean, I have to say that the actual position has changed. Last September, it was all about money and saving money. But as of the last week or so, it's now changed to resilience. So we've got a bit of a moving goalpost here. So you try and decide which it is. But certainly, all the report seems to focus on money. And yet, we're actually being told it's now about resilience. I'd have to say, my colleagues and I have never not been resilient for the Isle of Wight. And we've always gave an exemplary level of service. And I believe that exemplary level of services will be inferior if it goes to Surrey.
Well, yeah, and the point Steve made earlier on about somebody phoning the police control room and a squad car being directed to Newport in Wales. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? That just about sums up the situation we could be in. It's those few vital moments before somebody susses out, they don't mean Newport, Wales, they mean Newport, Isle of Wight. In that time, somebody's fried in a bedroom.
Unfortunately, I've got to say that my colleagues and I, again, are consistently correcting the errors of Netley. And again, it's nothing to do with the profession of the call takers. It's just the fact that they don't have the resources, and particularly local knowledge, to interpret what their systems are telling them. And we then correct their errors. I'd have to say again that Surrey will not be correcting those errors, and you will get mismobilisations, which will cost the fire service and the council more money.
Yeah, I've also, just to finish up, Steve was making the argument for a combined ops room for all the emergency services. I'm 100% with that as well. I've never understood the argument against that. Well, it seems to me to have one room with a bunch of professionals in it dealing with all the calls for the location. That makes so much sense to me, it's not true.
Well, we know that Ambulance Control are just about to move into a new building, a purpose-built building, and also there is space, and the offer has been made to the council for Fire Control to move into that building.
Oh, well, there you go then. Anyway, I wish you very best of luck, chaps, but I'm afraid up against this council, I think you're... Well, we all know what they're all about.
Thanks for your call, Pete.
You have a good one. Bye-bye.
Cheers now. Bye. Just trying to find...
Hello, it's Barry Abraham. Sorry I can't take your call right now, but if you leave a message, I'll get back to you. Thanks.
When you've left your message, just hang up, or for more options, press 1 at any time.
Hi, Barry. It's Ian Mack from Vectis Radio. I just want to leave you a message and urge you to speak to the Fire Brigade Union. I think it's in your interests and the island's interests too. And judging by the phone-in we've just done, that the majority of the island people that have phoned the phone-in want you to have some kind of discussions before you vote next week with the FBU. Please do it and let us know how you get on. Thank you.